when this boy meets world.
What up, bros?
What up, bros?
And welcome to Bruh Meets World.
When this boy meets world.
Your Boy Meets World fan cast. I'm Siege.
I am Tony Curtis.
Tony Towntown. Are you ready back for another episode?
Yes. In fact, I've been excited for this episode the entire season. I was like, you know what? I'm blowing off season 7 in my head, but there's a few episodes I'm excited to talk about, and this one was one of them.
I completely agree with you. Like, this is one of the episodes that whenever someone says season 7, I remember this episode. I didn't even remember, like, where it was. Sure. In like where it fell in until I was like looking at the episodes listing, but this was one of the episodes I definitely was like, I remember. I did not know it was the part one of the iconic 7 years.
Sure, film, sure.
But as I saw it said part one, I was like, oh, it makes sense. It makes sense.
And honestly, there's been so many times where we have said, oh, we want this episode to be two parts. And I'm glad that they gave this room to breathe. Because there was honestly, like, I was taking so many notes during this episode. I was like, yes. I want to talk about everything.
Absolutely. Yeah. I completely agree with you there. But before we get talking about everything, checking in. How you doing? What's up?
You know, this podcast has been a great little like light of sunshine in my life. I just want to just give a little thanks to all the people who have been listening to us. We've been getting so many great feedback. You know, we've been able to talk about all of these other interests that we have through our class discussion episodes, and you guys keep coming back. And, you know, me and Cece just love just bullshitting and talking about all the things that we love. And it just feels great that we've been embraced by a community who is welcoming to that. So just want to thank all our listeners.
No, I mean, I'm with you in terms of like the bright spot, specifically because I don't know by the time this episode gets out if it'll be the same, but Mercury drinking her Gatorade or whatever, it has just been like a crazy time in the real world. Is it just me? Like, I feel like
that's part of the reason why I said that is because the real world is scary, y'all. I can't afford it. It's terrifying.
Oh my god, I can't afford it, dude. I was like, the other day I went outside and I literally bought like pad thai at one spot and a beer, and it was $20. And I was like, oh. like you used to be able to feed two people on $20. What are we doing?
Remember when like an uncle would come and give you $5 and it was like such a big deal? It's like, I can contribute this towards a gift card maybe now. Like, I don't even know. I don't know.
You can get nothing. Like, you go outside, like the other day, for those of you who don't live in California, this may not be the case for you, but the other day, my husband and I were driving and I was like, ooh, gas is only $5. And I was like, wait, have we gotten to the point where I'm excited for $5 gas?
I'll never be. I don't care. I don't care how you change the matrix. I'll never be excited for $5 gas. You can't make. I grew up in the time where I had $3 gas.
Exactly. And I remember when it hit $3 gas.
And everyone was like, ooh.
Our minds were blown. We were like, $3 for gas? These are the end times. We just didn't know.
I will say this, that one thing about things being really expensive, specifically post-COVID, is that during COVID, there were so many things I just had to give up on. Like, we weren't going out to eat. We weren't going out and, you know, doing all of the things we typically do. Now I've kind of turned into my mom where I'm like, we got McDonald's at home. And it's better. I can make sure it's not full of like preserve as much as I'm able to do in America. Make sure that my meat is not full of preservatives and chemicals and all that shit that they put in the fast food. Like, I can spend less, I can feed more people, and it tastes better. I'm kind of on board for we have it at home now.
This is not we have it at home, but there was a whole TikTok the other day where this woman was talking about how she was like, we're not going to McDonald's anymore. We're going to TGI Fridays. Yes. Or we go to Applebee's. And she was talking about how, like, for the exact same amount of money, you can get, like, a more substantial burger. Like, really hefty fries. And, like, they have that 2 for $20 again. It's got to be $20 at least. But still, like, this whole idea of Fast food has forgotten its place in the world.
No, because they think that we're there for the taste. We're not. We ignored the taste for the price. You guys got it twisted. And like, to your point of like going to other places, my whole thing has been like, oh, let me not go to a chain restaurant. Let me go to a mom and pop shop. Like, yes. I guarantee you that the Mexican place down the street or even the taco place in the CVS parking lot will be able to give me something better than Taco Bell at this point for something for cheaper.
So. You're right. If not cheaper, definitely, again, more bang for my buck.
100%.
100%. Speaking of going places and gas prices and cars, this episode...
Segway!
This episode is one for the books. I'm really excited to talk about it. I'm really excited to get into it with you. But before we do that, let's do a little bit of housekeeping, which is our morning announcement. You guys, again, you can find us at Brett Meets World on all the places. You can follow us on... YouTube. You can follow our Patreon. We have merch if you like what you listen to and you want to support us in all of the ways. Please check out one of those things and continue to reach out to us. We really love hearing from you.
Can I add something to that? Even if y'all listen to us on Spotify or Apple Music, if you just go to YouTube and subscribe to our channel, that would make such a big difference to us.
It really does.
Even if you don't watch us on YouTube, just subscribe to us. Make a new account just for us. Like, we're okay with that.
Not you punching up the numbers. I love it. Make the system work for you.
That's right. Everyone's scamming.
Exactly. All right. So, you guys, thank you so much. We are going to get into the tell me about it. Okay. So, Tony, it is time for the tell me about it.
All right. I'll do what I can.
Give it to us.
Tell us about it. A prank war has begun. And what started out as harmless sitcom fun quickly made every friendship come undone.
You know, I do. I like it. You were a little nervous about it. I think it was more about your rhythm of the of
honestly, you know why? Because there were so many like things that I was like, oh, I kind of want to mention this more specifically, but it's just every part of this episode I want to mention more specifically. So I was like, all right, let me keep it broad.
You know what? I love it. Okay, so this is season 7, episode 15, The War. Rachel kicks Corey and Sean out of the apartment, leading to a prank war. Rachel and Angela team him up against Corey, Sean, and Topanga while Jack joins their side. Pranks escalate, leading to Corey and Sean posting a compromising photo of Rachel, causing hurt feelings and accusations. Eric tries to mediate the situation, but ends up feeling rejected by both sides. I want to point out that this episode premiered February 11th, 2000, back to back. So it was this episode and then next week's episode. I just wanted to acknowledge that.
Well, I should let our listeners know right away, we are just talking about part one because we need the whole time to talk about this episode.
We absolutely do. Speaking of which, you were like, I've been listening to some of our old episodes and they were like 30 minutes. And I was like, how did this become?
I don't even know how we did a 30 minute episode.
Talking about Thai food. That's how. Yeah. anyway. Okay. So what were your first thoughts?
My first thoughts are, one, I love this episode.
Okay.
I love this episode because it gets to tensions that have been brewing under the surface for so long. Things that you and I have noticed. Mm-hmm. Things where it's like, hey, this person kind of slighted this person and they're letting it go. They didn't let it go. Correct. It's bubbling under the surface. And I love that we're seeing the volcano explosion of all of that. If I were Rachel, I would be so done with Corey and Sean for the rest of my life. Like, from the get of this episode, they have done nothing. Habitual line steppers, both of them, to the point where it's like, if this isn't fun, I don't want any part of it. I'm better off without y'all. And I honestly... I hope she leads the charge because multiple people have come to that realization throughout the episode. And I'm like, yes, Rachel, I get it. And I'm with you.
It's so funny you say that. I watched this episode and I remember loving this episode. I feel like very recently I was listening to Pod cover an episode and they, I think Ryder said something about the fact that what the audience remembers is the fun of the set pieces.
Yes.
But when you look at the episode, it's not quite there. Sure. And that's how I felt about this episode. I was like, I remember loving this episode as a kid. And then I rewatched it and I was like, I love the idea behind this. The execution of this episode leaves a lot. Let's just start off by saying the car in the apartment, the moment that happened, I was like, suspension of disbelief. Like, I just have to, any and every other zany thing that may happen, I'm going to have to give it a pass. Because if I try to look at the logistics and try to make it make sense, like we often do, I will get nowhere. So instead of spending hours talking about that, I'm just going to be like, this is a wacky sitcom episode. We are living in sitcom world. I'm going to live with that. But at the exact same time, I can say, even from sitcom world, it could have been better.
I mean, you have to, honestly, both of these episodes can be a dream sequence and I would believe you.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how right. wacky the shit is. At it one is. Point, they get a bear involved. From where? How? Like, this is outrageous.
We're kind of jumping ahead, but all right, really quickly, let's just talk about like the incident that sets it up. Because at first, I was so confused because it looks like we're back in Sean and Corey's dorm.
We literally are, but it's just been taken over by Angela and Rachel, but it's the same dorm.
And like, you know, so that's crazy because like, you know, Rachel became an RA. We know that Rachel became an RA. We know that she's living with Angela again, but it's they basically just give the old dorm room. They don't even get like a coat of paint. Like they do make it look like the girls have lived there, but like I was so confused because I was like, wait, we've already moved everyone. What are we doing? And I was like, oh, this is Rachel. I had to look so closely to be like, this is Rachel and Angela's dorm now, but it doesn't really look that different.
Well, you have every right to be confused because the last we saw this dorm, it had been taken over by triplets because Eric and Jack had moved across the hall, and presumably Rachel and Angela moved into that apartment that was across the hall. No, now they are in what was the triplets dorm. Now they have taken that back. So
exactly,
it's very like, you know, I feel like you just can't look too closely at these things.
You can't look, like this episode specifically, don't look too close. But then after watching that, Rachel comes in and she's
Can I say something first before Rachel comes in? You know, this episode opens with Sean and Angela making out and Sean questioned Topanga and Corey, who are just hanging out on Rachel's bed, eating snacks as messy as they possibly can.
Yep.
Like, Sean's like, why aren't you making out? And Corey says something that I thought was really interesting, where he points to Topanga and goes, once you start this engine up, it's nonstop to Puerto Rico. I don't know what that means. They didn't know what that means. And he goes, daddy don't have to make sense. Or something like that. And I honestly, like, there are some funny moments. And, like, I feel like the fun that the cast seems to be having, specifically Ben and Ryder, really make you forgive a lot of the grievances that they give to other people. Like, they're clearly all having, Will is clearly having so much fun in this. Like, so much fun that I think as an audience, we're feeling the fun that they're having, much like the Scream episode, to the point where we can be like, oh, that doesn't really make sense, but I'm willing to go along with this.
It's funny that you say that, because this is another episode directed by William Rusty.
Ooh, and okay, that's interesting,
Yeah, and so when I saw that, I was like, where it worked earlier in the season, I feel like it doesn't work as well this season. Because you're right, I can tell they're having fun, specifically with Will and the couch and everything else that happens later. I'm like, oh, you guys are having a good time. But I was like, I kind of want you to just kind of stick with your narrative right now, because I feel like we are going somewhere. I think this show upsets me the most when we have like a great idea and we don't kind of stick with it. Instead, we try to have fun. We try to have like these little side adventures or make it extra wacky. And that's when I'm like, no, stick to what you got. Give me the old Boy Meets World formula for this episode because it's worth it. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely. And I mean, just to your point of listening to how, you know, Pod Meets World, how they react when episodes get too wacky, they feel it too, that there's something that's off. Like, yeah, it's an interesting episode, but it's also just like so different than the world we've established.
Absolutely. All right, so I do want to talk about, like I said, Rachel came in and Rachel was having grievances because A, she's working, So she understandably is working and going to school, and she's not feeling appreciated. We can all understand that.
And I'm
And
also
then,
glad that they returned back to her being an RA, something that they mentioned before, and I was like, oh, we're never going to hear this again. And I was like, oh, good for you, Boy Meets World, for adding some consistency and through line for this.
correct. And then, so they, she is an RA. It's kind of like a thankless job. And then she's like, the one perk that I get, a parking spot, is like not even like someone's in my parking spot. And then they acknowledge that Sean is the one who's in her parking spot. And she's very understandably upset. But my problem is, at no point in time do these boys take her seriously. And we can tell why, because Corey essentially says it's Rachel. So they don't take her seriously. And this episode is so interesting because it shows how disrespectful and how little they consider Rachel in general. Like, it's one thing to be like, oh, Rachel's the new girl or whatever, but like this episode shows they just don't respect her and they don't feel like they have to.
I mean, you say they, but I really feel like Corey spearheads this thing of it being, well, it's just Rachel.
Well, yes, but like Sean is the one, like, even though I agree that Corey is the one who's like says it out loud, Sean's actions also show that,
Sure,
because
sure.
Sean is the one who's just like, yo, calm down. Like, I'm in your parking space. What are you going to do? Huh, little missy? And it's like, it's
Yeah.
again, it's this talking down to someone who, by the way, not only is she your peer, but she does have authority in this situation.
I also don't feel like they would have talked to a man that way.
No, they wouldn't have.
And in any circumstance where they talk to a man that way. If it was Jack, if it was someone else, I don't feel like they would. Can I just also say that this is the first time, like, I love learning more about the characters. Rachel has a bug. Cute.
Yeah.
John also has a car. What is it? We don't know. Who paid
Exactly.
for it? No questions.
Exactly. We do know that it's in Rachel's parking space.
Yeah, that's all we know. Is it the trailer? Did he park the trailer there?
Again, like, no, because I feel like she would have known. She would have, like, some trailer is in my parking
Yeah.
space. But you're right, it's some unnamed car. And I also feel like Rachel having a bug is a little bit of like, it's not product placement, but it is like, what are the girls driving these days, you know?
Well, Bug's made a big comeback. Even though she drives a like a retro Bug, like the new VW Bug, I feel like so many girls were just like obsessed with like that lime green,
I
like
was
I
thinking
don't
of the
know, just
yellow, but you're right.
yellow.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just had like these iPod colored cars that were just like really famous for like 3 years.
Honestly, bring color back. Like, I miss
Yeah.
like colorful things. Like, now
Let's get
everything.
cunty with cars again,
I
guys.
love it. Yeah, let's do it. Anyway, the thing that I did want to, you were like, there are some funny bits. I want people to know that, like, it wasn't like I hated this episode throughout. As I said, execution wasn't great, but the comedic bits of Sean being like, I am shocked and dismayed. And Corey being like, you can't be both.
Yeah.
You be shocked, I'll be dismayed.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, this is fun. Like, the when Corey and Sean are partnering together and they do have like their back and forth bits, that is fun to watch.
Yeah.
However, if these two were my friends, this would be like I would have no part of it. I
See,
want nothing to.
that's the thing that I'm like, I'm so more in line with Rachel this episode than I ever have been when watching, like, I've watched this episode a ton. But like now I'm like, if these two were actually my friend, like it wouldn't be fun. It wouldn't be cute. Like I love that, like you said, as an audience member, I love their back and forth. Their chemistry is off the charts this episode, but I would not want to be friends with either of them.
Correct. Because I think not only it's like for me, it was their inability to apologize that I actually thought was like
Just
all
say,
you
I'm
had to do was,
sorry.
I'm sorry. That's it. It was
I
literally that
because
simple.
Sean even says, like, well, maybe the person who parked there didn't know it was your spot. Like, he could have just said, hey, Rachel, you know what? I think I parked in your spot. I'm sorry. I didn't realize it was yours. It would have been done. Like,
Yeah.
they are the ones who escalated this entire thing.
They are. And so the idea that, you know, she very understandably, but like it's not right for Rachel to be like to abuse her power. I'm not gonna lie, I remember, I'm gonna tell this story, but like I was in college and we had something very similar. Like we were all studying in like the apartment common room, and I was an apartment manager. I worked at the apartments that like it weren't dorms, but anyway, I worked in the front office. So I was able to get us all into like the common area and allow us in there, and we were studying, and someone was like being disrespectful. And I got angry and I was like, you know what? Get out. Like, I'm the authority in this situation. Get out. And he was like, you can't bet. And it became like this big thing. And it was kind of like the same situation of like the escalation. And now that I'm older, I can say that like that wasn't the best use of my power. And I was like abusing my power and kind of like holding it over. But also in that situation, someone was trying to hold their position and their power, being white, over me. And so I played the card that I could. And I feel very similar where Rachel was like, you guys are demeaning me. You're not like acknowledging me or my authority as a RA or as a woman in general. And so I need to assert myself. And
I
I felt she
100%.
was right. Go ahead.
Yes, I think she was entirely just. She was
Yeah.
just like, hey, I have few privileges. This is the one thing I get from this job that's thankless. And here I am complaining to my friends about it. And even you guys aren't taking me seriously. And now you're mocking me? You know what? Get the hell out of here. And you know what's interesting is that when she's like, get out, I was like, well, is she talking to Sean, Topanga, and Corey? And then Topanga was later like, you know what? I'm gonna stay with the girls. And I was like, well, she said it was past hours, so now she's really like fudging it. It should have just been like a, hey, it's past hours, all guests need to leave. Which would I think would have helped Topanga join the boys later on if she had been kicked out as well.
I agree with you because my next statement was going to be, I do not like that Topanga flips. And she, again, in my mind, everyone should be on the same page. Rachel was disrespectful. Sorry, disrespected. She probably shouldn't have taken it there, but it escalated. It was what it was. But then for Topanga to be like, you shouldn't have done that. Like, these boys are
She
going,
goes,
you.
uh-oh,
Yeah.
you don't want to get on their bad side. And I was like, I have so many questions as to what prank history Topanga is referring to, because I've watched this
Correct.
show for 7 years. What pranks have been done even? Like, I know that they did like, hey, we're gonna have a radio station in school or whatever, like we're gonna fake be in a band, but like, did they really do pranks on anyone?
No, not really big. They're not really big pranksters, first and foremost. And then also, like, you could say that they always, like, they don't know where to stop, because that's
Yeah.
true. You can say, I can see this getting out of hand, which is kind of what Eric does, because that's true. But for Topanga to be like, you don't want to go up against them, it's like, Topanga, you readily go up against them and you readily are like, hey, you guys, what are you doing?
Well,
So,
you know what I found interesting about that? I was like, there it does seem to be something about Topanga in that moment where she's like fearful of Corey and Sean, and I'm like, maybe
yes.
that's why no one calls them out. Because no one wants to be on the other side of their wrath. And maybe what Topanga's referring to is like that white man wrath and just being like, you don't want to be on the other side of that. Corey's like, you're gonna be sorry for this homewrecker. And I'm just like, oh, what are we referring to exactly? Because nowhere in my mind did I think, oh, pranks are the next obvious step to this.
It's so funny that you say that because I thought very similar. Like, this is reminding me, a lot of people have talked about how this show sometimes parallels real life and what's happening behind the scenes. And I think, to your point, a lot of people are like, hey, just so you know, this isn't going to end well if you speak up and stand up for yourself, because everyone's going to rally behind the two white men who are everyone's faves, and you're just going to look like the fool. And that is kind of sad that that is the position. They don't come to Rachel's defense. Like, Angela and Topanga both should have been like, guys, take it down a notch. You're in Rachel's room. Maybe we all show a little bit respect, but they didn't. They watched Rachel handle it by herself. And then after Rachel left, they were like, I don't know if you want to do that.
It's so funny that you say that because there's so much of this episode that I was like, I feel like this mirrors behind the scenes tensions. Like that whole idea of like the lifelongers versus us. And this idea of like, even on Podbeats World, they have someone as like, oh, hey, you were on a few episodes. And they were like, yeah, as a background actor, I didn't really feel like I could speak up. Or I felt like, that like you, the series regulars were kind of in a league of their own. And like just kind of commenting on that tension where I'm just like, maybe there's bigger things happening in this episode than we realize.
I think so. Okay. Then we get to the idea of Rachel bringing in the big dogs, aka Feeny. And when she brings in Feeny to hold them accountable, and Feeny does it, and he just kind of laughs it off. Hey, I'm not gonna lie. The idea of putting the car, again, we're gonna go with the logic. We're just gonna do it. the idea of moving her entire car piece by piece into the room as a way to like get back at her. I'm not gonna lie, it's genius. You do kind of wonder, how did you even do this? But I also do expect Feeny to hold them accountable a little bit. Like, Rachel's not wrong to be like, oh, all of a sudden, all my, for the last 2 years, all I've ever heard about is Mr. Feeny and his lessons and how he holds these boys accountable and how they can't get away with anything. And then it's me, and you're just like, you got Miss McGuire, let it go. It's like,
I felt that so much because it shows the favoritism that Feeny has, at least in this scene. Like, obviously later on he kind of is like, he rolls their eyes at Corey and Sean too, but at least in that moment, like, I felt Rachel's frustrations of like, I've heard nothing but the legacy of you, and now I need you and you're not showing up for me.
Absolutely. Also, before, is Feeny just like, Feeny got married and he's like, I'm done, whatever.
Yes, Feeny is definitely in his whatever phase. Before we move on too fast, I know you said, hey, I don't want to get into like the specifics of it. Can we try for like 2 seconds, in order to get that car into that room with both of them sleeping, both of them would have had been given sedatives to not wake up for the noise.
I thought the
so
same thing.
There's a drugging element that's happening as well. Thing. Like, there's other things that went into that being a thing, because it's not just that they got a car in the room. They got the car in the room while two people were asleep. So many questions.
I here's the thing. I thought the same thing. And that's why I was like, you can't look too closely at it. Because if you look closely at it, you have to be like, the only way to feasibly do it is to drug both of them and then do everything that you do. Because there's no way you don't hear a car being assembled inside your room.
I feel like they have to cut a wall out. They have to put a wall back together. There's a lot of things that you could theoretically do in the night if you had, like, people sleeping through sedatives. I don't know.
Exactly. Here's the thing. I didn't see it, like, cutting a hole in a wall. I saw it as, and this is, again, like, my own fantasy of it, Sean having his mechanic family. And I saw it like a pit crew type thing, where it's like he called some people. They, because like they're even holding like a piece of the car, in the student union. So to me, that's what happened. Like, Sean called in a favor. He had people. They broke the car apart and they brought it in piece by piece. I like, that's what I saw. Again, none of this, you can't look at it too closely, because if you do, it just doesn't make sense. But okay. Then what I'm going to say? Oh. The idea of Topanga being on their side and being like, good one, guys. Again, it's like everyone is just not everyone, because Angela does, in fact, stand up. But Angela even stands up not because she feels like Rachel was done wrong, but because it inconvenienced her.
Yeah, so when Rachel feels othered later in the episode, I'm like, this makes complete sense, because every single turn you've been trying to get people to take you seriously and everyone's been laughing at you. And
correct.
So, like, no one is taking you seriously at all, just like the show has never taken Rachel seriously.
Correct, correct. Like, I feel like, to your point, they gave Maitland Ward, like, a really Maitland or Rachel-centered episode, but they couldn't help but dog her the entire time of her episode. And then it ends with just, like, the utmost disrespect.
It almost feels like there were, like, I'm speculating here, but, like, various cast members having various conversations that writers heard, like, different writers heard and were like, maybe we can just kind of fuse all of this into one episode. In the same way that they tried to fuse, like, the weight loss thing in the later episode, that idea of, like, there's things going on the set, let's just address it in an episode. I feel like that is maybe what happened here.
And here's the thing. We've been right before, so I'm not, like, I would look forward to seeing what they say when they do get here, because it is, again, this is an iconic episode, but also I am very aware of, like, the disrespect that Rachel, the character, is seeing at this point in time. And like I said, Angela only joins this side, even though I do want a really quick side note. Angela looks amazing this episode.
Oh, she looks great.
Trina Wonderful. Is bringing it. I just thought it, I wanted to call it out. But Rachel is being disrespected continuously, and Topanga even says, hey, I'm sorry, I told you not to go against them. I'm siding with the boys. We get this sexual
Feeny, thing. Can I just say this? Feeny says, I'm not going to do anything about it, and you can't make me, laughs in her face and walks away. Like, yeah. Feeny is on another one this episode.
Correct. That's what I'm saying. Like, Feeny is just checked out. I wanted to acknowledge like the very sexual point of the water. Like when Rachel does it the first time to Corey, it's just silly. But when Angela does it with Sean and pouring the water down his pants, I'm like, why are we doing this?
Can I say something that's really interesting? Angela pours the water down Sean's pants, and his first instinct is to go, huh, your loss, as if to say, my shrinkage is your problem. As if, like, huh, all right, fine, you're not gonna get any of this dick.
It's insanity. Then again, because they are outnumbered, they go, we need to go get someone crafty. And they go to Eric. And I thought this was fun. I thought Eric trying to open a
Can I?
can. You go,
No,
it's
I.
no. If we're gonna allow for there to be a car inside of another room and for bears to be roaming the hall, then I'm going to allow Eric to try to open a can like it's a jar.
I really, this is one of those things that I have struggled with so hard, and the stupefaction of Eric is this scene specifically is always the one I think of like him trying to open a can like a jar was the moment where I was like, wow, that is just an image that I cannot get out of my head as to how far this character has come. Because at this point, you have Jack just being like, not even telling him, just like shaking his head, being like, he's back to his old tricks. And I was like, wow, like Eric cannot function as an adult in the world. That's all I'm gonna say is that it seems as though he needs assistance in his day to day. That's all.
Yeah, no, here's the thing. I'll give you that. But the whole reason why I brought that up is because we then get Angela and Rachel recruiting Jack.
Hey,
And
did you
yeah.
notice that Jack's hair was like spikier and blonder than it's
Yes,
ever been?
absolutely. We
He's
are
full fuckboy.
full fuckboy at
Yeah.
this point in time. And here's the thing, I kind of thought it was fun. I thought he looked like the most boy band he could look at
A
this point in
hundred
time.
percent.
And I also like, I was saying all this to lead to my favorite joke of it, which is like they are debating over it. Sean acknowledges that Jack's his brother. Again, it's like, oh, conveniently. Now, like, we remember that Jack and you are brothers, like, when we want to, when it's completely important to the plot, but you guys don't act like it in any other way. But when they like grab him back and they say something, and Ryder just goes, whoa, I was like, and I love it mostly because Matthew Lawrence looks back and it's just like that whole for the
Like,
video
hey.
show it. Matthew Lawrence's older brother, Joey Lawrence, whoa, was his catchphrase on the show Blossom. And I just really, I thought I enjoyed that little bit and that line read.
Well, I love the joke that actually comes before it, where Rachel says, oh, it could be so much fun working together, Jack. And Corey says, what, foul, not fair, you can't offer cookies. And Rachel's like, remember how good my cookies were, Jack? And I was just like, oh, they're talking about sex, right? Like, this
Yes.
is all about them fucking.
Well, so what was like, here's the thing, I didn't like that because it goes to show again how disrespectful they consider Rachel the character. She uses sex. Like they're like, oh, Rachel has nothing else to offer except her feminine wiles. Like that's how she gets Jack. Not that they have a point. Jack can't just agree that Sean and Corey were being disrespectful. Like that can't be the case. It has to be for sex reasons. That's the only reason why a man would side with a woman.
And I, to your point, like, not that Rachel doesn't have the agency to offer sex whenever she wants to, but to show her as a temptress here, I feel like if they had done something different, it would have made the turn at the end a lot more shocking. Because it's like, well, she doesn't portray herself as that. Other people associate that to her. Whereas in this episode, it felt, I don't know. Again, she has the agency to do whatever she wants. It's just, I wish that they would have done a different approach to get Jack on the team.
I just feel like they could have made the argument and Jack could have agreed. Like, it's really that simple. You and I were able to see it. Why, like, the idea that they only used sex in order to get Jack is crazy, especially since we know he's in a relationship with Eric. Like, it just doesn't make
100%.
sense. But
Well, again, he has to put that show up. He has to be
yeah.
like, oh yeah, I'm a man. I'll go where there's women.
Well, I will say this led to the second part that I thought was really funny, where Eric's like, if I go, do I get cookies? And she goes, you get none. He goes, mutton? And
Mutton.
I was like, I don't know why. A, I love when mutton is brought up on a TV show. We, like, no one eats mutton anymore. And yet it was so brought up. Like, for so many years, mutton would just be brought up in TV shows and television. And I don't know why, but I love the word mutton. I love the reading of the word mutton. I just thought it was fun.
Yeah, just for people who don't know, mutton is meat from a sheep over 2 years old. Just to make that clear.
And then again, like they like what's funny is they do acknowledge, like, according to your own rules, brothers are supposed to be brothers. All right, you get Eric. And then we get this whole show of like neither team wanting Eric. And again, I kind of see this as like the seeds being planted. But
But again, sad for Eric because here is a person who is just like, we've seen him just destroyed by life in so many ways. He has to become a joke in order to be have friendship is what he's been learned. And now is a point where it's like, oh, we're playing a game. You would think that Eric would be good at a game. Like you would think that Eric would be someone you would might want to have on your team. We saw the way that he was when he was hiding in the painting from Topanga, like he was hiding in the couch. Like this guy really can commit to a joke. I think more than Sean and Eric. I mean, than Corey and Sean. So it just felt weird that like I'm like, well, I get that you think Eric is dumb, but in this case, I feel like he would be good to have on your team.
exactly. And that's what's crazy to me. Like, I just couldn't understand, like, especially when we open up with Eric, they were like, we need a mastermind, and they show Eric. But then they go for Jack. I was like, no, Eric is the one who takes it too far. Like,
Yeah.
if you want someone who can match Corey and Sean's energy, you would get Eric. Eric is the one who's going to have the idea to bring the bear in, you
Yeah.
know? Like I can understand, like, it would make so much sense to me if they, like, Eric was still the one who's like, hey, I think this is going to get out of hand and we should stop. But I also, again, for someone who was willing to poison Megan a few episodes in order to like distract Dad, if anyone
Yeah.
was going to, again, in the next prank to me, the honey and all this other stuff and the glue, that would have been fine if they were like, haha, joke. And then for surprise, Eric brought in a bear, and they're like, Eric, a bear? You know, like for them to be like, whoa, this is really escalating.
Because
That to
who
me.
knows where to get a bear? Eric.
Exactly.
You know why? Because he got in touch with a bear wrangler when he was working at his dad's store in like season 4 or 5. Like it only makes sense for Eric to be the connection to the bear.
Absolutely. So again, I was a little upset that no one chose Eric, because Eric, this is when Eric makes the most sense. We're being wacky. We're being crazy. Why not let Eric participate? And they do it so that Eric remains the voice of reason and he's continuously ignored. But I feel like there's a way you could have done both.
And I also think it would have made sense for him to join the Corey, Topanga, and Sean team, considering how it was this like line in the sand between people we've known our whole life versus our new friends.
Well, see, it doesn't start off that way. And like, we're getting to that point, but it doesn't start off that way. How it really starts off is whether you're on Rachel's side or Corey and Sean's side. That's kind of like how it
Yeah.
really starts off. And Jack being on that side, I would expect Eric to be on the side that Jack's on. So
Sure.
again, like I even expected Jack to like kind of be like, you guys, we gotta let him on for a little bit. You know, again, in having Eric like raise the stakes.
Yeah.
But I know why they didn't do it. But I wish they had chosen to do take a little bit more time to like actually make this make sense based on the characters that we know.
Yeah.
I say all that to say we go into Feeny's class, who again is over it, over all of it.
Well, Feeny is teaching a class of these six for seven friends and five other people. I don't know when all of these people got into one class together, but it's just them and like four other kids.
I was saying, when did they all have a class together? And the idea that he is talking about the Civil War. I'm like, this is high school material. What are we doing? Again,
And
I
so
understand that.
vaguely about the Civil War. He's just like brother against brother. It's like we're not getting introduced to the Civil War in college, are we?
Exactly. This is like, that was my problem. Why are they all in the same class? Why are we learning about the Civil War? And we get the latest prank, which we already talked about, which is the glue on the seats, then the honey, then the bear, a string out of nowhere. I was like, you expect me to believe that there are buckets of honey just above? No one noticed. Feeny didn't say anything. Again, we're in sitcom logic. We're letting it be.
I also felt like, as a Nickelodeon kid who understood that if you said, I don't know, that slime would get poured on you, that like I kind of bought this idea of just like, yeah, you can rig up things to pour on people at
Yeah,
willy-nilly.
exactly. I will say, after the second prank, Feeny has equal disregard of their idea of like they could have died. And that is where I was like, I don't know. I really don't know whose side I'm on at this point in time, because you really did put people's lives in danger. But again, that feels like an Eric level disregard of human safety. You get where I'm
To
going?
your point, like even before when Feeny was kind of laughing at Rachel, there was never a point where he took Corey aside and was like, "Hey, you just got off academic probation last year. Like, be careful." Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's never a point where he's a teacher. Like, he's
Yeah.
literally just like you know, an audience member to all of this. He doesn't take any of it seriously. And I was like, this is fun. It contributes to the fun for there not to be like an adult. Like, they're the adults that need to figure this out. But at the same time, it's like it probably would have been better for Feeny almost not to have been involved at all, because I don't know who this version of Feeny.
Thank you. That's what I was gonna say. In reality, I would have preferred Feeny to not be available at all. Like, I would have like preferred to be like, where is Feeny in all this? Or for you to give Feeny a thing where it's like maybe at his office where he's like, I'm not being involved, like at all. Like I want nothing to do with any of this. Like, I would have preferred that than this version of Feeny, because I kept asking myself, who is this version of Feeny?
And like to your point, like I think like when you know during Chick Like Me, or even the most recent one we did, What a Drag, I think Feeny in both of those circumstances was like, I don't want to get involved, I don't want to know.
Yeah,
So we've seen
exactly.
that from him before. That would have made more sense.
That would have made more sense. Okay. Then we get
Oh,
to.
and I'm so sorry I keep stopping you, but there's something else I just want to point out, that like this is really, although it's painted as Corey versus Rachel in the end, this is really Sean versus Rachel. It was Sean who parked in Rachel's spot. Sean was probably the one responsible for putting the car in. Rachel was the one who was responsible for the retaliation, and Sean was responsible for the third retaliation. So it's really between these two, even though Corey inserts himself as a lead figure in that.
Well, first of all, you're absolutely right. I love that, because I didn't consider it, because I give them both equal weight. But Sean is kind of like the motivating force for it to keep going there. And like we, as you said, in this next and final quote unquote prank, Sean is the one who, I guess you could say, betrayed the other side trust in order to get access to this photo. My problem with this prank is, not only is it disrespectful in universe, i.e., for them to put up a photo of Rachel in the student union in this way, but for it to be what it's supposed to be, which is a taboo photo of someone whose privacy is being violated, for the show to linger on the shot and then have it be a sight gag. Where it's like, no matter how many times you pull it down, you still see the photo and you still have Rachel in the corner crying. I was like, you can't have it both ways. You can't say that this photo is inappropriate and the boys have gone too far, but as the show itself, you still show the photo, you linger on the photo, and you make it a visual gag.
I have so many thoughts about this, and I think you're right that like it's disrespectful to Rachel McGuire, and it's also disrespectful to Maitland Ward in so many ways. I also kind of saw the photo as like, remember last season when they went to like a Hooters and they were treating it like a strip club, and in my head we were like, this is probably supposed to be a strip club, but TGIF won't allow that. I
Yeah.
feel like the picture was supposed to be way, probably more. And like,
You're
I'm
like,
sure they were so carefully shot, and there were so many like discussions in boardrooms about how to do this photo. But in my head, I was like, the reaction that should have came, I was like, we see more of her when she's like, you know what I mean? We've seen more of her in other episodes. So it felt odd that that thing where her basically being covered from most of her body in a fur, in a bear fur. I was just
yeah.
like, I don't really know if this has the impact it's supposed to. I think it's supposed to be dirty.
Well, to me, as a little bit of what you're talking about is the How I Met Your Mother retelling of it. Like, if this was
Yes.
like a How I Met Your Mother retelling where they kind of acknowledge this is what the way that we're telling this story. Like, if anything, what you and I talked about in the last kind of wacky episode, which was They're Killing Us, also directed by William Russ. If it was kind of like that, where we had some kind of framing device that
An
allowed
unreliable
us.
narrator, yeah.
Unreliable narrator, that to me would have made everything that happened a lot more digestible including the fact that, like, this is the photo that you're seeing. This is not the photo that was used, yeah. You know?
100%.
I agree with you. But no matter what, in universe, you're saying this photo is a violation of this woman's privacy. Mm-hmm. And then the camera lingers on that violation. Yeah. That is going to be my problem with this episode. People have the right to disagree with me. I know that there are a lot of people who will be like, it's fun, it's harmless, it's a sitcom. I'm saying that as someone who we watch this show, to be like, what lessons did this show teach us as a generation? This episode said that, hey, she's crying, but it's really not that bad.
Yep.
That's the lesson that they are saying on screen by making it a sight gag. I thought the fact that, like, each time they try to pull down one, it is another version of it, is smart. It's funny. It's comical. It's cartoony. The idea that Jack will then just, like, move her in front of it. Again, humorous. But I will not overlook the idea that we are saying it's okay to violate this girl's privacy for a joke.
I also think that, you know, in the subsequent scene, like when they start getting into how this joke was even able to happen or this prank was even able to happen, that's when we start getting into the most interesting parts of the relationships between the boys, because Corey is apologizing and was like, well, I think you looked good in the photo. Sean's like, yeah, I even got a wallet size one for myself, and pulls out in front of his girlfriend. And then, you know, Rachel's like, well, Angela, it must have been you because you're the only one who had access to the dorm room and I kept it under my bed. And Angela's like, well, Sean lied to me and told me he had a book that he left in the dorm. And then Rachel's like, well, how did Sean even know about it? And then Jack is like, well, yeah, I did show my brother this picture you told me to keep private, but it's because he showed me a picture of his girl. And I was just like, okay, let's slow down because we're getting a lot of big truths right now. And I don't feel like we're having the chance to react appropriately to any of them because things keep going so fast.
Well, so it's funny because it's funny that you say that. To me, it reminds me of the episode of Friends, the one where I think it's the one where Rachel's ruins the truffle or something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's the one where Ross smoked pot. And that's like the whole thing is like it's a whole build up episode where like truth after truth after truth comes out.
Yeah.
And everyone is learning something new in every few seconds. And
I don't think I was supposed to put jam in the truffle.
Exactly. Like that whole thing, that whole bit worked for me. I feel like this kind of did the same thing, and it being punctuated with the uh-ohs and everyone gets a chance to say uh-oh is fun. Again, unless you look at this episode too closely, because they're right. Rachel's right. She is being violated from every end. She's violated by her roommate. She trusted her roommate. Her roommate violated her trust. Now, again, you can argue that Angela didn't intend to do it, but she did.
Sure.
Rachel said, do not let them into the apartment. Angela did. So, violation of trust. Then she's violated by Jack because Jack had already shown the photo to Sean. Again, these two, Jack and Angela, are on her side. She was already disrespected by Sean and Corey, but now she's additionally disrespected by the people who are on her side. And then the kicker is Topanga comes in and she's like, Topanga, I know that you knew about this. And Topanga's like, actually, I didn't know about this. And instead of being like, how dare you do this to her? Her first reaction is, why didn't I know about this?
Yeah.
So again, Rachel's discomfort is not at the forefront. Rachel is not wrong to be upset because every single person violated her trust. And no one seems to care that there is a huge billboard of her body in the student union. They're all concerned about themselves.
And another thing, again, like this idea of boys showing pictures of their girlfriends to each other, videos to their like friends and things like that, is something that can like literally ruin people's lives. Like there are laws in place now to prevent like revenge porn specifically for that reason. Like it's a much bigger conversation. I don't want to spend too much time on it because I don't think the show wants us to, but I just think that like much like last week where we had Eric outing a kid and it was kind of like played for laughs, like there are real world consequences to some of these things that are being passed off as jokes.
Absolutely. And that's my real thing. Like, we know humor's not supposed to last. I understand it. And I will not pretend like there aren't funny bits in this. Like,
yeah.
Again, the whole back and forth, the uh-ohs, the reveals, the idea of Sean being like, you're my brother. Why didn't I see anything? And yeah. Jack being like, you're my half-brother. I only have to show you half. Like, again, that's funny. I enjoyed that. But I do not like that the punchline of all of this is Rachel's body.
100%. I do want to rewind a little bit because I want to talk about Topanga a little bit. Because in the last sequence, when they were covered in honey, Topanga was like looking at Sean and Corey. She was like, we're going to get them back, right? How are we going to get them back? Like, she was desperate to be involved in it. And the camera pans away as if like, oh, Sean and Corey are thinking of something. And like, when Topanga first comes in, I agree. She shouldn't have like spent a little bit more time listening to Rachel. Someone should have gave a fuck about anything Rachel was saying. But I also can understand where Topanga's coming from, where she was like, hey, I joined your side. I said that you guys were the best at this. I was desperate to like be included in this next iteration of a prank. You specifically left me out and you went way too far with it. Like, I get all of her frustrations.
Well, I like that in this point, she goes, great. Speech at the wedding, Sean.
I loved knew that it. Was coming back.
Because when that happened, I was like, oh, so we are present. Like this, again, for her to be like, you at the wedding were all like, oh, we're a team. It's the three of us. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But not only did you take part and make it the Sean and Corey show during my wedding, I gave you the grace. I tried to be a part of it. I tried to find my place in this and be like, guess what? If we're going to be a trio, we're going to be a trio. And you pushed me out even when I was on your side. I did like them bringing that up.
In terms of like tensions that have been bubbling, this is exactly what I was talking about. Because one of the things that Topanga says even before she gets to the toasting is she goes, well, Corey says, it was Sean's idea. So he's like, I'm not going to take accountability for this. You're my wife, but I'm still going to say it was my friend's idea. And then she goes, of course, where there's trouble, Sean isn't too far behind, which I think is the same thing that Alan said to him one time. And I was just like, Sean's face kind of drops and reacts to it. And I'm just like, oh, people don't give a fuck anymore. They're saying everything they know are going to hurt people's feelings. And I felt like she knew that would hurt Sean's feelings. And then also for her to bring up the toast is like, hey, you said it was going to be me and Corey from this point on. And now you're not even going through with that. So like, Sean does need to be called out because Sean is the propulsion of all of the events that happen. Even if Corey's ego wants to take more of a role, this really all does come down to Sean. So I'm glad Topanga was able to call him out in that way.
It does, and I don't want to take away from that, because you're right, it does really come down to Sean. But what I think is interesting is in this little bit, it realistically does allow everyone to justifiably be angry. I just want to run down this in a little bit, because you're right, like, we're starting to say truth and things are starting to be out. Rachel, understandably, is mad at everyone for every reason. Like I said, she's mad at Angela because Angela, even though it's supposed to be her roommate and her friend, not doing it at all, not actually behaving like it's supposed to be. Jack, her ex-lover, has been showing photos that were supposed to be intimate and just between them, doesn't have her back. Sean has been disrespecting her the entire episode. Topanga, who she also considers a friend, doesn't really care about her feelings as much as she does her boyfriend, or not her boyfriend's, her husband and his friend's feelings. So Rachel, justifiably angry. Then you have Angela.
Corey doesn't give a fuck about Rachel, period.
Like, oh, I'm getting there.
Says that. Yeah.
I'm getting there. Then you have Angela, who's mad at Sean because he violated her trust. Jack coming out
and violated her trust, but also exposed her friends in the student union. Like, it's you betrayed my friend and you betrayed me. There's two reasons why she's mad at Sean.
Correct, but she's mostly invested at the fact that Sean betrayed her. But then you get the fact that Jack comes out and says, you're only my half brother. We ain't really that close. So now you have Jack, tension between Jack and Sean. Then you
Because
have...
Jack feels betrayed that Sean knew about the photo, remembered it, and was like, oh, we could use this against her. In this way of like, you weren't supposed to tell anyone that I even showed you that. Like a bro code, literally between two brothers.
Correct. Then you have the violation of Topanga coming in to Sean and being like, oh, whenever there's trouble, there's Sean. Which again, you're right. That's a dig. That's historic. That's like, oh, that's how you feel anyway. Like anytime Corey's in trouble, it's got to be my fault. Yeah. So now Sean is feeling sensitive. Corey, throughout all of this, tries to calm down and be like, you guys, it was just Rachel's feelings that we hurt. Come on. And when he says that, everyone's like, whoa. And he's like, wait, we didn't mean it. We didn't mean it like that. But Rachel's right to be like, nah, that's how y'all feel.
Corey says to Topanga, he goes, I can't believe you're taking her side. You've known me and Sean your whole life. You've known Rachel, what, a couple of years? And then that's where Rachel's face drops. And she's like, wow, I really thought you guys included me in your little world. And I was just like, ooh, cool girl. Get away. Find new friends.
By the way, later on in the episode when it's Corey and Topanga, like they're in bed, she goes, you hurt someone's feelings. And he goes, yeah, Rachel's. Like, and again, that's the thing. It's like, oh, so that's how little y'all think of Rachel. But don't then, again, this is what's important to me. She goes, Rachel's. And Topanga goes, yeah, and mine. Which means that Topanga was like, no, Rachel wasn't even really the thing that I was upset about. I'm upset that I'm not being included. So even Topanga doesn't really care about Rachel's feelings. And the whole thing is, we all getting some dirt over here. Everyone's coming out. It is weird that no one really calls out Corey. Like, no one really calls out Corey. Everyone has beef with each other. Again, you've pointed it out perfectly. Sean is kind of like the catalyst of all of this. But Topanga's not mad at Corey the same way she is at Sean.
Yeah.
At Sean, she's like...
Because the beef she has with Sean is beyond this episode. That's what I mean. Like, the beef between even Sean and Jack, where he's like, you're my half-brother, like, to throw that at him in that way, you know, there's just so much animosity beneath the surface that you've had to have watched a few episodes to understand why everyone feels the way that they feel. Even, I would say, this whole idea of Eric trying to be mediator to everyone plays into the role that we've seen Eric being, the clown, the jester, the one who takes away tension. This is how I can earn friends and prove my worth, is to not take things too seriously, to be a comic relief. And that's what he tries to be even in these moments, in a way where it's like, wow, everyone is like reacting off of trauma that's existed before this episode started, and we're just seeing it all come out very viscerally.
Exactly. But it also, like, Eric's placement in all of this, first of all, Eric's whole... The Gandhi joke, I was like the Gandhi Indian.
Oh, where he was like, oh, Gandhi's an Indian. He's a Cherokee, I think.
Yeah, I was like, no, I'm not going to do that. But his thing with the book of opening communication and dialogue and all this other stuff, I thought that was fun. I thought he did a really good job with that. Anyway, the thing that I wanted to say is that this episode does a good job at showing when they say, oh, I guess it's not an accident or a coincidence how the lines were drawn and the sides were picked. And you do see, I thought they did a really good job because it did, like, organically, it looked and felt organic that the sides were what they were. Even though I didn't really agree with Topanga being on the boy's side, they gave me a reason and I was like, oh. So later on when they say, actually, if you look at it, this is the sides. It's the lifelongers versus the new group. I was like, oh, you did that in an organic way. But it is funny that Eric is now, we've seen Eric be in both worlds. Mm. We see both worlds reject Eric. And we now see that in reality, Eric isn't part of that trio group. Like, they don't treat him as part of it. They don't really come to Eric the way that they used to. They don't really try to bond with Eric the way that they used to. But then when you look at Jack, Rachel, and Angela, they also kind of look at Eric as someone we have to deal with because of Jack, and not because of our friendship with Eric.
they want to be friends with the hot popular kid, and Eric just happens to be around, and we have to tolerate him, is what it feels like. And what's sadder is that, like, when Eric is doing the, like, hunger strike thing, which is funny, like, he's playing along, but he's trying to mediate between Jack and Sean. You know, Jack lashes out and was like, hey, neither team wanted you. He's kind of mean to Eric in that moment where he was like, hey, no one wanted you on either team. And then Eric kind of walks away sad. And, you know, Sean is like, why'd you do that? And he's like, don't tell me what to say. Like, yeah, you know, go to hell or whatever. Jack and Eric have a friendship that should have, like, overcome this. In a world in which everyone's mad at each other and no one's talking to each other, there's no reason for Jack to lash out at Eric, because Eric should be the one person who he's cool with, theoretically.
Even, here's the thing, even if he did, like, say, let's say he's, you know, like, tensions are high and he's very sensitive and he just, like, pops off at Eric, like, I get that, but you're right, it shouldn't be. Like, there should still be some kind of connection for them, or some kind of, like, Jack wanting to repair that, you know, yeah, kind of Jack being like, ah, I kind of went too far. Because we also know that at the beginning of this season, Eric, or especially like last season, Eric was like willing to leave, you yeah know, like Eric didn't feel like he had a place. So for them to kind of fight to make Eric and Jack's relationship strong in what it is, and then for Jack to just disregard it in that way and have zero remorse, it yeah does feel out of character even for Jack.
Can I say something? I feel yeah like this could have been a bigger thing than they turned it into. Like, don't get me wrong, I like that we have a part one and we have a part two, but I feel like this had enough tension and enough emotion attached to this that you could have made this the ski lodge episode of this season. This yes could have been the thing where it's like, hey, we're going to take a few episodes of, like, people not being friends, trying to figure out what relationships they're able to salvage. Like, the thing about being in college is that you're constantly surrounded by new people. There's literally no reason why they shouldn't have time to even attempt to make other friends. Like, I get that they want to wrap it up quickly, but I feel like you really could have, like, there's so much meat on the bone, you could have made this last a little bit longer, I think.
I agree with you, and this is, like, even if we got, like, one more episode mm-hmm of, like, different, everyone finding a different click. You know what yeah I mean?
Like, people are like, maybe I don't belong here. Like, oh, I do miss my friends. Like, huh, I don't really like these people as much as I thought I did. Any of that would have helped, I think, to allow for this reunion to come together in a more organic way. Because if everyone's saying fuck you to everyone else, the most rational thing is, like, I'm gonna go hang out with that kid from my econ class who makes me laugh sometimes, or I'm gonna try to reach out to, you know, this person I haven't talked to in a while. Like, that makes more sense to me.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. Like, if the next episode was Jack has, like, joined the wrestling team and he's hanging sure out with all these other jocks. Angela is now with a group of black people and she's just like, you know what? I don't need those white folks anyway.
Yeah.
If Topanga would have found, you know, like, either her roots or, like, you know, the other married people in the dorm, and we see her hanging out with her neighbor.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like, I would have liked for there to be, like, an episode in between mm-hmm this. Because you're right, there is enough tension here to kind of draw it out a little bit. And I do think you and I have talked about this before. Sometimes we'll get to this place where it's like, you have had a really impactful episode. And then, like, by the next episode, we either resolve it or we act like nothing ever happened and everything's good again. And I do wish that it would just kind of let us sit in that tension a little bit.
Yeah, and just, like, I mean, I didn't watch ahead. I only watched this one episode because same I didn't want to confuse my thoughts with, like, what happened in what episode. But, you know, this idea that, like, there is so much room for these characters to have conversations with each other and to actually improve some of the underlining issues of, like, hey, maybe we have a scene of just Corey and Rachel talking and Rachel's like, hey, you know, like, having that, like, hey, I'm sorry I didn't treat you like a person, or, like, seeing, like, you know, Rachel have a new group of friends and Corey feeling like, oh, I kind of miss her, like, anything like that, I feel like you could have played into a little bit more, just to show that, like, it's not just this tension that's the issue. I truly miss these people in my life, which I correct feel like the sequel, from what I remember, is more about kind of resolving tension more than it is, like, salvaging, like, your personal relationship with people one-on-one.
Or just explaining what that person brings to your life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so anyway, I know we're gonna get into this. We're gonna talk about it really quick before we move on. I'm gonna pull you. I wanna go back a little bit and talk about Eric and Will, because you said something that I really started my brain turning, which was the idea that Angela and Rachel want to be friends with like the hot guy, but Eric, they're like, oh, we just got to deal with Eric. And I was like, did the turn come? Did the showrunners really start to disregard Will's talent as a like an actor with multiple skill sets once he stopped being their sex symbol?
I
You know what I'm
think
saying?
that, yes, and I think that what happened, and this is obviously just us speculating, I think that when Eric became the funny guy instead of like the hot older brother, it was almost like he can't be both. He had to be one or the other.
But
And it,
again, this is at a time when Joey Tribbiani exists.
sure. And I think that if they had built Jack's character out to be something more, then they wouldn't have had to just make him the new hot one. But I think that because his character is so underdeveloped, they needed to steal that attribute from Eric and put it onto Jack so that there's a balance. Okay, you have the cool hot one, and then you have the goofball friend. And I think that they just saw that as a dynamic that worked versus challenging the fact that when Jack and Eric met each other, they were like, oh, this person's equally handsome to me.
Correct. But that's my point. My point is, I feel like, and again, I don't know if it's, I'm not going to say that the writers themselves intended this. I'm saying, from what we know about behind the scenes and how Will was talking about Michael constantly was on him about his weight, part of me is like this idea of the fact that Eric has now become undesirable for both sides and both sides don't really care whether or not Jack or Eric is there, and he is just played for the fool. You can say that it's just because they love his comedic chops. That's a possibility. But part of me is like, is it also that you no longer thought he was you? Like, people behind the scenes no longer thought he was a heartthrob, and therefore they didn't give him or remember any of the attributes that they gave him prior.
Well, you have to also remember, and for our younger listeners, this is a time in the 90s where like heroin chic was a
Yeah,
thing.
this is my
This
point.
idea that everyone was pushing becoming as thin as possible in order to be perceived as attractive. Also, this idea that like your attractiveness somehow makes you more interesting than any other trait about you. Like people just want to be around people who are good looking. And the show has never really pushed that. In fact, when Topanga became good looking, it almost is like they, like during the haircut episode of season four, it's almost as if they had to have a moment where they were like, we don't want to go down this road. We don't want to pursue this like look driven thing about her getting popular just because of this. Yet with Jack, that doesn't feel like it's the case. It feels like they didn't know what else to do with him. He was very, like, he was becoming more muscular. Like, maybe he was working out and doing other things. And they were like, okay, we're just gonna make this his personality trait is that he's hot.
Yeah, but here's the thing. That's not what his stories are written around. His stories aren't written around being hot. He's not going out on dates every other week. He's not constantly beating women away. Like that, his
I
storyline
didn't
is.
say he was sexual. I said he was attractive
Yeah.
because his attractiveness, I think, is
His
more for
attractiveness.
Eric than for anyone
Yeah,
else.
but what I'm saying is his attractiveness is not the storyline. Like, nowhere in this episode do they say, we want the hot one. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
I
Rachel's like, I'll literally have sex with you. There's a possibility of sex.
Yeah,
Like,
but there the, what I'm saying is there's a that but that's on Rachel. Do you get what I'm saying? Like they're sexualizing Rachel, they're not sexualizing Jack. They're saying that Jack can be wooed sexually, which is
But
completely different.
even though the show is not like explicitly saying that, you and I both get the vibes of that from how they're treating Eric and Jack in this episode and how they've been treating them all season.
That's what my point is, and I'm so sorry, but we're kind of getting into like the part I really wanted to talk about, which is this idea of it does feel like since Will was no longer then
the good looking
they
guy.
started this, since he was no longer the good looking guy, they don't write to him as being the good looking guy. Because again, think about it. Rachel offers Eric her cookies, so to speak, but she doesn't offer to Will at all. And when Will tries, when Eric goes for it, and she's like, you get nothing. It's like, what made me think about this is they are treating Eric the character like most 90s sitcoms treated the fat friend.
Yes, 100%.
That's the thing. It's like, if you have a group of guys and all the guys are like having fun and all this other stuff, and then there's that one fat friend in the group where all the girls look at him and they're like, you're here, but like, you're supposed to be funny. Like, we're not into you. That's how they're treating him. They're treating him like they, like the rest of the 90s treated the fat friend. And that's what made me be like, wait a minute. They're treating him like he's the fat friend and not this charismatic character that we knew. Even though Eric was dumb in the earlier seasons, he was dumb and hot. Now they don't really treat him as if he has any kind of appeal.
Well, and this is the thing that's kind of been weird for me, is that from this jump, when Jack and Eric were in college, like season five, when they're starting college, you see them dating. Like, there's that Candace Cameron Bure episode where, like, you know, the witch tries to infect Jack or whatever, or they try to swap dates. We don't see them date anymore. And I'm like, you're in college. You both have said on the show you're not virgins anymore. You guys should be out chasing tail nonstop based off of how you were both written, yet you constantly just stay indoors together. And
But to your point, and I'm so sorry for everyone who's like, but anyway, I want to say, I think this is important because you and I both were a heavy set when we were younger.
Yeah.
And I think it's notable when the story changes, because what you just said, when you're like, oh, we acknowledge that they're both not virgins. When is that episode? That episode is said
season five.
When Will is still at a weight that they thought could be appealing. In that very episode, he makes out with Jennifer. Do you get where I'm going?
Yeah.
When Will was of a certain weight, they thought he could get women's attention, and they wrote to him as a character who could get people's attention. Now that Will is not at that weight, and by the way, I want everyone to know, I have no problem with Will's weight. I'm saying that the show treats him as no longer desirable at all from anyone, from any place, now that he is not at a weight that they feel would be attractive to women.
You know, I think we're probably going to get into this a lot more when we get into the... Baby back ribs episode, but... I think I agree with what you're saying. I think that there's things going on behind the set. I think that there's public speculation about body types that are playing a role in how Topanga and Eric are being written. And I think that this is a great example of that.
Yeah. I just wanted to point that out. Like, it really did dawn on me. I was like, oh, they're treating him like the fat friend. And I remember how they used to treat those characters. And like, we would not do that now, but back in the 90s, there was a lot of that.
And so, can we also just acknowledge that, like, this is all male gays. If you talk to any woman, they're like, oh, we would much rather have, like, the chubby funny guy. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, this idea of, like, a six-pack and all of that stuff. Like, all of that feels like it's more male gays. And again, it also feels like... these two are obviously a gay couple. Like, there's so much proof to, like, that makes way more sense to me than anything else. Jack wants to be hot for Eric is the thing that makes the most canon sense to me.
I agree with you. Okay, that being said, you guys, we hope you appreciated this. If you enjoyed our long, drawn-out conversations, hey, check out our Patreon, because we do a lot more of that when we do our Pop Meets World reacts. So we're going to take a break, do our Pop Meets World reacts, and then we'll kind of come back and give you our bro moments and everything else. Okay, we are back. What up, what up, what up? All right, what's your bro moment of this episode?
Oh, the Maitland Ward of it all. The way that they treat Rachel, the way that they treat Maitland. I mean, we've talked about them sexualizing Rachel's character since she got brought onto the show. I think next week's episode's going to be really interesting when we do the time jump and we see like how they act to how she became, because the real world parallels of that also is fascinating to
I
me.
don't remember that as much because I think the Plays with Squirrels of it all just kind of trumps. But I do look forward to revisiting that episode and seeing.
But yeah, I just, the fact that Rachel really just wanted to be heard and taken seriously by her friends the entire time, and instead of anyone taking her seriously, they just kept amping up the jokes. And then, at the end, for her to say, like, wow, I really thought you guys let me in as your friend. I guess the joke was really on me the whole time. I was like, wow, like, I feel that, and you need better friends, girl. The bra moment of just like them exposing a private photo, the whole like, I mean, I hate to use the word revenge porn, but like I can't think of like another like term to signify like the bigger issues of what that can be. I think is probably the most troubling. So that's what would be my bra moment.
I like that. For me, it was the Gandhi being Cherokee Indian thing. I was like, that's it's just not true, and it's kind of disrespectful to, again, to me, it's very white gaze of, oh, they're all the same. Like I get that it's played for a joke, but for me, it's very much saying all brown people are the same. I can call you, they're interchangeable. You know what I'm saying?
I agree with you, but I have to say, I thought that joke, at least from my first watching of it, was more of a slight against either Eric or the American education system, to where Americans are taught that like Native Americans were Indians up until like 2015. Like we
No, no,
used the
no.
word Indian to describe Native Americans for so long that I was like, I get it. Like
I get it,
I
but
get it.
hey, I'm picking my bruh moment. And
You're right, you're right, you're right.
for me, that is like, whether you like it or not, I just feel like, again, whether you find it funny or not, there are lots of jokes like this where I'm like, I get it, blah, blah, blah. But the bigger problem of races are interchangeable, it's funny to make that joke even. I don't want to perpetrate it. Like that's how I feel.
Well, I also think that the term, to use the word Indian for natives, also takes away the native rights of these
Correct.
people who have been in this country longer than anyone.
We were
Like,
not, to your point, we were not doing that in the 90s. I absolutely remember saying, like the other thing. So I get it. I do feel like it's a very 90s joke, but it was a joke that when it happened, I was like, Gandhi is one of the most respected figures of that time and of that location globally. And for you to kind of like just be like, I don't know what he is, it felt disrespectful. Feeny lesson, what do you got?
I guess listen to your friends when they're saying they're having issues with you. Like, just talk it out and listen to people. I don't know, listen to people. Like, if someone just listened to Rachel and was like, oh, you know what? You're right. I'm sorry. All of the events in this episode could have been different. At any point, they could have just listened to Rachel and no one wanted to, and no one took her seriously. So I would say take your friends seriously when they say that they're having issues with you, or they may not be your friends anymore.
Hey, or they may not be your friends. I think that's a really good lesson. At first, I was going to be like, it's a part one, and it feels like a part one, so I don't know if there's a lesson. But I
Sure.
agree with you that like you can come to the conclusion that if your friends aren't respecting you, are you really friends?
Are you really friends at all? Yeah.
What grade are you giving this?
I'm gonna give this episode a B. I like this episode for the reasons of it being memorable. It has a lot of things that I know are gonna end up in the clip show at the end of the season. But at the same time, like the things that are memorable about it, I don't think contribute to the storyline the way I want to. And I think that there's so many issues that are brought up in this episode that I think are way more interesting than the pranks now that I'm an adult, that I'm just like, oh, I want you guys to have these conversations more, that I wish we would just got into that a little bit more. So my ruling is a B.
Like you said, I'm gonna give it a C. In all
Okay.
honesty, like I feel like what we kind of talked about, while I had some fun and I do remember a lot of what was going on, I just felt like this episode didn't make me laugh. Like I was like, I'm not laughing. I'm really not. Like, I get that a lot of this is funny, and like, I will say that I can tell they're having a good time. And if I only cared about those things, if I only cared about the chemistry of the cast, if I only cared about wacky and fun antics, then maybe, but I'm a story guy. And as a story, it doesn't really get interesting until the second half. And even then, I feel like they were so worried about it being a part two that, like, we don't really go to the places where we could go. Okay. Homework.
You know, you and I have talked about this separately. I'm gonna make this my homework for this week, which is the Dev Patel movie Monkey Man.
Oh, God, I love it.
I loved this fucking movie so much. I can't wait to see it again. It was, this movie I think is so interesting because I don't know if you've heard like the backstory of it about how like it was filmed during the pandemic. They lost funding. They were solving problems every single day of things going wrong and technical issues, and none of that comes across on camera. From the moment I sat down, I was like having a panic attack. I was like, not since like what's that Adam Sandler movie with the
I knew
jewelry
it.
and the bedding?
Uncut
Uncut
Gems.
Gems. Not since
Yeah.
Uncut Gems have I had so much anxiety in a movie theater. And I, not only is it just like a really well shot and well acted action movie, revenge movie, but the way that Dev Patel is able to incorporate like, the heritage of India in so many ways. Like, I really would. I've been kind of trying to follow like South Asian influencers and TikTokers just to get their opinions of it because every day they're teaching me something new that I missed
Yeah.
within the mythology that's presented within Monkey Man. So, I thought it was so good. It's been a while since I've seen a movie that I think really sat with me the way that this one did. I just it was I saw that movie that like a week after I saw Cowboy Carter, and I was just like, I heard Cowboy Carter for the first time, and I was just like, wow, I'm being fed. I'm being fed
Yeah.
like good meals. You know what I mean? In a world where content is like fast food and I'm constantly getting cheeseburgers, like, wow, I really had a steak tonight. And it felt good to like witness art that I was like really impacted by. So, yeah, Monkey Man.
I love it. I love it. I have two that I want to get into. Wait, before I even do that, I want to acknowledge your Monkey Man. I totally echo everything that you said because I loved Monkey Man. I thought it was so great. I thought Dev Patel, talk about a triple threat.
Right.
This dude, I was like, actor, this is your debut feature film as a director, as
Killed
a
it.
screenwriter. You did so good.
Beautiful
And
movie.
this movie is beautiful. There are I'm sure there are things that could be better, and there's like some, it wasn't the perfect movie, but it was such an entertaining movie. It was such a great take. It went places where I was like, oh, you're going there. I guess I just have to sit and go for this ride. It's representation, it's diversity, it's messaging. Like,
The way the
I
trans community played a role in that too,
correct.
amazing. So good.
Correct. And it was there, and like also it did a lot of a little bit of a spoiler, but like the fact that he uses the high heel as a weapon, I was like, again, we are being like, hey, femininity is not something to be messed with.
Yeah, 100%. It's
If
so
you are
cool in that way.
secure in yourself, it can be just as much of a weapon. So again, I really love Dev Patel. I'm so excited to see what he does next. I've always thought that he was really talented. I felt like I would sat down and I watched it. I was like, they wouldn't give him James Bond. He was like, I'll make my own series.
100%. And now it's so much better. Like, yeah, please make this a series. I would love to go down the adventures of Monkey Man.
The Adventures of Monkey Man. So anyway, thought that was really great. Really loved it. Love that that's for homework. For me, two things. You were talking like a full meal for a little snack. I'm not gonna lie. At this point in time, it would have come out a few weeks ago, but one of our listeners, friend of the pod, Alex, reached out and was like, have you heard Sabrina Carpenter's new song, Espresso?
Oh,
I
yeah.
checked it out, and I'm not gonna lie, it's one of the only songs that kind of pulled me away from Cowboy Carter because it is like a little fun summertime bop, and I was here
Not
for it.
only is the song great, I've talked about Sabrina Carpenter before, how I think she's doing so well in the pop space. Her Coachella set was great. Like,
Yeah.
and the, I saw, because they were live streaming Coachella, I didn't bother to go because I that honestly, I don't want to.
Yeah.
But I was watching all of these performances. And I was like, some of them are winging it, and some of them came prepared. And she came prepared in so many ways, and she really put on the great show.
Also love the Espresso music video.
Yeah.
So if you have a chance, go check that out. Also, another one of my homework, X-Men 97. If you haven't checked it out yet.
Don't tell me anything. I haven't seen it yet, and it's on my list. I can't wait, bro. I can't wait.
Doing yourself a disservice. This series, for those of you who don't know, X-Men 97 is picking up. It really is picking up where the X-Men cartoon series in 96 ended.
Yeah.
It kind of just picks up right from there. And it's just like, hey, this is what everything that happened in the next season of that show. Wow. Only they really go back and they address kind of some of their problems that were in the 97 show. They pick up from where they left off and they really do bring it into modern storytelling while still telling the same stories that they were telling back in 96. And yeah. I don't even know all of the lore as much as so many other people will, but yeah. Everyone I know who's a huge X-Men fan says that they are making so many of the right choices. And for me, as a viewer who just loved the series, I also was like, this is so fun. This is good writing. It's so much more than just like a Saturday morning cartoon. It is good storytelling, dynamic storytelling with interesting and evolving characters. So,
okay, let me just throw this out there. You know, the three cartoons that meant everything to me in the 90s, like in this genre, was the Batman animated series, the Spider-Man one from the 90s, and this X-Men one. And my question is that do I have to rewatch anything to jump into this? Because that's what I was kind of worried about.
You don't have to. I will say this. I did not watch like the last season. There are enough things. You can find lots of stuff on YouTube that'll be like, hey, if you want to know, here's a really quick recap of everything that you should know. But as someone who didn't watch any of that before, I just watched it. And you can pick up. If you have any basic understanding of the X-Men, who they are, what you know about them, you can pick up from the very first episode and just dive right in. There are lots of like Easter eggs that you won't get, but you don't need it. You can just watch it and it's still a good. Okay. And to me, that's a signature of great writing. When you don't need to watch the previous material to get invested in something like this, which is brand new and kind of like a revival.
Sure. Well, okay. I'm excited.
Okay, so to that point, you guys, if you have homework, please reach out to us. Let us know what you think. Follow us on the socials at Brown Meets World. Subscribe to our YouTube. Join us on Patreon. We have merch, you guys. We always appreciate you interacting with us. We hope this episode was like a little bit longer, but we hope you enjoyed it. And Tony, anything else you want to say?
No, I just want to remind people, if you could subscribe to us on YouTube, that means a lot to us right now. But other than that, just, dream.
Try.
And do good.
Do good, peep. Do good by your friends.
Yes, please do good by your friends.
Later, bros.
Later, bros.
This episode of Broad Meets World was produced by Siege and edited by Tony Curtis. Broad Meets World is a 2-3 Tokens media production.
Bye.
Bye-bye.